This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pindorf. It's riding out again on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. We're looking at this study now on the reality of the coming of our blessed Lord. Are you anxious for the Lord to come back? Oh, I know. Before the Lord saved me, back there years ago, I was so afraid that the Lord would come and leave me behind. Is that your prayer if you're not saved? Lord, don't come till you save me. Lord, save me before you come. Because when the Lord comes, my friend, that's another story then. We'll get into that later. But we're looking at this position of a God-called pastor this morning. I praise the Lord for the instruction. I've told you many, many times, Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. was the pastor and the founder of this work back there many years ago. He was a very, very spiritual man, intellectual spiritually. And he was the kind-heartedest man I ever met, but he was a gracious teacher. And I use his material. I glean from his studies that we keep, and I bring you a lot of things that he said. And then I get my instructions from him. You know, you go to school, you listen under a professor. Well, that's what I do. But look, we're looking at this study on the reality, or the soon coming, I call it, of the Lord's coming. And we saw there in our last study the instructions for God's pastor. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. God's call, pastor, is to reprove. That is, to lay the blame, to rebuke or to persuade, to convince or to convict, or to disclose the heart of a saint and sinner and to lay bare guilty heart. We don't hear that no more, do we? Oh, the average church, a pastor wouldn't last 30 days if he started laying the blame where it goes to, where it's supposed to, my friend. I read in the newspaper here not long ago where a young man conducted a funeral over there in Florida somewhere to an individual that was a reprobate and a wino and a drunkard and had a bad reputation. And he just told some of the things and alluded to the fact that this man probably was not saved and maybe where he went. I'm not sure. I didn't hear the sermon. But after the message was over, some of the local people drug that little young pastor out and gave him a flogging. Because he wasn't, they said he went off base. But my friend, he was rebuking. He was reproving. That's what he did. Oh, my friend, I'd like to talk to him. But listen, it isn't pleasant. Many times it's embarrassing to have to say something to individuals like that. I had a preacher that I knew, elderly man, and he came to the bookstore often. We talked a lot. And he told me he had a man singing in his choir, and he found out he was shacking up with a woman. And he called him on the carpet, called him up before the church, and rebuked him, and put him out of his choir. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for taking a stand. We don't have much of that now, do we? No, sir. No, sir, my friend. Listen, now, it's to lay bare. Many times it's embarrassing. Then again, he's to rebuke both saint and sinner. Rebuke means to reprimand. It means to reprove or to censor so that individual is checked and made to think. That's what we need today, my friend. You need to think. That's with our families, with our children at home when they're not obeying. We need to correct them and put them on a straight path. I know that that's another subject, but I just mentioned our families, our children now, are on a downward plunge to hell because they're not being corrected. They're being turned loose. And now we get into all of these other things, drugs and all. Oh, my friend, we won't go there today. But it means to sharply reprove or to censor that individual, to make them think. God-called man will lay aside all of his feeling. Now, my friend, listen. That's a statement. That's a statement. He'll lay aside his feeling. He has to put his feelings in his pocket, my friend. He will not court the love or favor of any man so that he may deliver God's message uncompromisingly. My friend, you can't run with the world and then reprove them the next day. I had a business of mine for many, many years. The Lord provided me and my brother had a business. And I found out a long time ago that you can't go out and party with your men on Saturday night and then give them instructions Monday morning. They won't care. I know that's the way it is in the military. You have a dividing line there between the officers and the enlisted people. It's a separation there. Same way with the church. God's man has to be true and deliver God's message uncompromisingly. Oh, I pray. I ask the Lord, give our pastors Give our preachers, I call it guts enough to be true. You know, God's man is usually, a true man is not popular. I'm not very popular. I have folks criticize me quite often, and I don't take it to heart. I just let it go in one ear and out the other. And you know, when folks call me or email me a snotty, a critical note or something, you know what I do? I turn that paper over and bow my head and pray for them. Oh, I just pray for them, Lord, open their heart. I don't have no hard feelings against nobody that criticizes me, because I know they're ignorant of God's word. Oh, my friend, old Elijah is an example. When he walked into Ahab's court there one day and delivered God's message to a king, now, my friend, listen, don't you know it took grace? John the Baptist is another example. When he stood there and rebuked those Pharisees by calling them a generation of vipers, bunch of snakes. And when he stood before Herod and rebuked him sharply for living with his brother's wife. Oh, my friend, you remember that story? Oh, Herod was the king, and he was catting around with his brother's wife, and he had a birthday party honoring Herod. And Herod's brother's wife had a young daughter, and she danced to please Herod. And her mother instructed her what to do, because he knew that Herod would offer her a great prize for being. She actually, the root word, root meaning of what she did, that she danced in the nude. Oh, you say, what? Yes, sir. It said she pleased Herod. Well, if you go back and look up and watch what the old commentator said, it means that she danced in the nude and pleased Herod, and he offered her whatever she would have, up to half of the kingdom. And her mother had instructed her. What a wicked woman, my friend. Do you know that woman is in hell tonight, today, whatever? Burning in hell. She told that young girl to ask the head of John the Baptist on a dinner plate, a charger. And then she told Herod. She told Herod, he said, what would you have me give you? Anything up to the half of my kingdom. And she said, I want John the Baptist's head on a dinner plate. And it made Herod sad, but he had already given his word. My friend, sometimes we have to back down, don't we? Oh, listen, we all make mistakes, but old Herod honored his word. He sent right that moment to the prison and had his executioner to cut John the Baptist's head off, bring it to that young girl, a bloody mess, and she carried it in that to her wicked mama. Oh, my friend, what a terrible place. What a terrible, sin didn't just start yesterday. It's been back there all of those years. And there was old Herod. We think adultery is bad today. There he was living with his brother's wife, my friend. Listen, and then John the Baptist stood there and rebuked him. Then again, he's to exhort. That is, he's to urge. Plead with you. Plead with you. Oh, my, that the individual may throw himself on the side of truth and the side of Christ. My friend, if you ever get saved, you're going to take a stand on the side of Christ, that you're wrong and that Christ is right. The Bible is true, and you believe it. And that's what salvation is, my friend, coming to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lay down all your self-righteousness. Take the blame. That's right. I've often told you, repentance, the true word of repentance, is to take the blame. I've often told you that many a home, many a marriage could be saved if one of those two individuals, young families, could say, darling, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. One or the other, don't matter what it is. But no, sir, they bow up their back and won't take the blame for nothing. And that the pastor is to urge that individual to throw himself on the mercy of God. And to do this with all long suffering, not just one time, patience and doctrine, that is, teaching God's word. Be equipped, study it to make thyself approved, my friend. Don't go off half cocked, no, sir. In other words, he is to wield the word of God with all authority. Now, we know from God's word that the pastor is the authority. We have some studies along that line. If you'd like, I'll send them to you. And we have to be do what the Lord tells us to do. A God-called pastor, according to Titus 1, verse 13, will rebuke sharply. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commands of men that turn from the truth. Then he's to speak with authority, according to Titus 2:15. These things speak, he said, exhort and rebuke with all authority. I tell folks, God's man is the authority person. I'm the authority here at Radio Missions. I'm the authority at the old Trailblazer broadcast. Now, I'm not talking about a tyrant or lay the law down. No, I'm talking about I have to be the final result. The end result comes from the pastor. He says, let no man despise thee. God's messenger stands with a message from heaven, my friend, from the courts of the king, and is to deliver it regardless of how men may take it. Then, according to 1 Timothy 5, he's to rebuke sharply, openly, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may also fear. That's no easy task, my friend. You know what? It takes a lot of grace, my friend. A lot of grace. The average pastor today has no voice of authority because he's either afraid of his job, afraid of his salary, afraid of a clique of men in the church, some petticoat who controls him, or is afraid of a rotten spot in his own life that somebody knows about, and he's so afraid that they will expose him if he gets too close to the truth. Now, my friend, God's man has an awful, awful responsibility. I know that every time I enter the pulpit. I know what's required of me. I know that. And I have to be true to my family, my children, my congregation, to my listeners all over the world. Do you know that this ministry here is a worldwide ministry? Over the internet, over Radio Missions Radio, over the printed page that we mail out by the millions every year, I have to be true to those folks. I can't let my feelings take place. I can't. And I love people. I love my family. But I have to be true to them. I have to stand in love and rebuke them when they're wrong. And my friend, it takes a lot of grace. Now, let me tell you something. You pray for your pastor. You have a good, sound pastor. Pray for him. Don't despise him. Don't talk about him behind his back. Don't do anything that will hurt his feeling. Oh, my friend, and I'm not talking about just carrying him to a chicken dinner sometime. No, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about as you have your family devotion and your time of prayer, pray for your pastor. Pray for me that I'll be true to your soul. The greatest harm that I could ever do to an individual is to let everything slip and not be true to you when I have an occasion to say, my friend, you need to turn to the Lord. My friend, you're slipping on a slippery slope there. Don't do that. Don't neglect your family, brother. Brother, my friend, don't neglect your family. Don't stay out at night carousing with the men when your family's at home. Oh, my friend, my pastor friend, don't do that. Be true to your congregation. Be true to your family. Pray for them daily and exhort them and rebuke them if they're in the wrong. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. I wish I could hear from some of you. Let me know if you appreciate these old-time messages. I know they're not exotic, if you want to call them that. They're not fashionable, but my friend, it's down to God's word, down to the truth. And then remember the Old Trailblazer's address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Till next time, goodbye and God bless you. If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.